platform.
Hello, everybody. Here we are on Speak Free Radio, the Hoaxbusters, what's left of us. Anyway, we hope to have a good show for you tonight. I really wasn't too much involved with the show last week. Couldn't get through. Things didn't work. And I was in the hospital anyway, and it was a pain in the ass. But I'm home today. They let me go, and we'll get into that maybe later. We'll talk about some of the things.
Next step.
Well, we'll talk about what I went through. I mean, you just can't believe what I went through.
Maybe you should talk about it now because people are chomping at the bit, wondering.
Well, we could. I mean, okay, that's fine.
I think that's good.
Don't talk. Just don't exert yourself. Don't get aggravated.
It's not going to bother me. So, as I was doing my walk and talks, over a period of 2 weeks, probably, I was getting like pain in my heart.
Increasing.
I know what the pain was. Okay. Now, I didn't do it every day. It's just like one day was really bad. And I really didn't think I was going to make it home. But I didn't really show it in the video when I was walking. And I didn't say anything about it either. But boy, I was hurting when I got home. So anyway, that passed, and then the next week comes up, and again I'm walking, and I got pain, a little more pain, and I said, "Yeah, there's something not right." Then So the next day, I went out, and I can only walk like five minutes?
My video. 7 minutes, yeah.
I did a 7 minute video. I just couldn't. I went up and back. I said, I can't finish it. You know, my heart was hurting again. And again, I'm familiar with the pain. I know exactly what's going on. I knew there was a blockage. Something's not right.
Because you had this happen before.
Yes. So when I had my first stents, when I had my first
bypass.
My first bypass, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's when it happened.
That was in 2018.
And that actually was pretty bad because when I was having problems then, I was gonna die. I'm serious. They put me on. They had me on a morphine drip. They had people come into my room. I was even taking things. It was really bad. So they had to get me to Boston pretty quick, to get all this done, and they did. So anyway, that was my first bypass. And the guy tells me, he was an Indian guy, and he tells me that this will last you 15 years. Oh, really? Well, it only lasted about five.
Six, yeah, five. Even, five and a half. Yeah.
5 years. I couldn't believe it. I just couldn't believe it. And so anyway, so I'm back again now. I got to deal with this. Now, it's not as severe as it was then. Because he said I have two, they did a three-way bypass with me before. And he said two of them are blocked and one's open. So that's why I'm probably okay now because I got one good channel open or whatever.
But when he said of the two, that there were, between the two, there were nine blockages within each of the two arteries.
Yeah, he showed me all the blocks. Because I just said, look, I don't want to get cut open again. I just want to have stents. And he goes, no, we can't do stents on you, okay?
It wasn't stable. You did your. It was the walls were thin in so many places.
Well, he said that. Look, we could put stents in, and then there'd be something wrong with the stents.
Yeah,
and then we gotta do a bypass anyway.
That's right. Okay?
So I mean, you know, I really don't want to have a bypass, but I guess I might have to do it. Again, we gotta go. We got to go in Monday. But anyway, let me tell you what happened. So Friday, that Friday, when I did that 7 minute video, I was hurting. Then I came home and then I, basically said that Diane died because the pain. What happens is I come home, I lay on the couch, I relax, and the pain goes away.
That's right.
And I said, well, Diane, look, it. I'm going into the hospital. I have to go to the hospital because there's something wrong. I know it. So I went to the hospital, and that's what happened. So they sent me to Nacogdoches Hospital.
Okay. I wasn't home at that time. I was in Ohio.
Yeah. So we had Diane's friend take me. I went to Nacogdoches, and they took me really quick. I mean, I got into that room, you know, really
quick. Emergency room.
Okay. So anyway, I get into the room, and then they tell me, oh, we can't get you in the cath lab. Something's wrong with the cath lab. I said, oh, great. So we gotta transfer you to another hospital, probably not even 20 minutes down the street, whatever.
Oh, okay. Wouldn't be 20 minutes. No.
Well, I'll just say 20 minutes to go and come and get in.
Same city.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, just down the street. So I go and they bring me down there and oh, great. You know, they're going to bring me right in. And again, they brought me in. They brought me right into the cath lab there. And so the guy does a thing. He does, you know, blah, 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 blah. And he goes, he didn't say much to me. He just said, look, we're going to have to ship you to another hospital. All right.
That's about an hour away. Yeah.
And he said, you know, because I know he's thinking, I can't deal with stents here. I got to deal with something bigger. And so he shipped me to the other hospital. So three hospitals. I was in within 12 hours, I was in three hospitals. And I didn't get, they shipped me to the other hospital. I'm not going to tell you the hospitals because there's people that watch these videos that they're really not nice people. And I don't want
to make trouble for you.
Yeah. I don't want them knowing my business. So anyway, they shipped me to the insane asylum. And then I. No, anyway. So anyway, I go to that hospital. I get in there 1:30 in the morning. And then I was there for a couple days, two or three days. And, you know, we just was talking about what had to be done. I had all these tests done, blah, 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 blah. And he's basically saying, you can't have stents. You're going to have a bypass. So
you can't do that shockwave lithotripsy that you kind of wanted to do.
Whatever I wanted done, they said they couldn't do it. So I'm kind of stuck. So Monday, I got to go in. I got to go see the doctor Monday and go, you know, see what he has to say, see what the plan is and all that. And that's where I stand right now. So right now I'm living. You know, my heart's okay. I really don't have any issues. I can just feel a little tightness a little bit, but nothing, no big deal or nothing.
Not like before where you had to catch your breath to be able to deal with
it. I'm fine right now. And I just want to make it to Monday. And when we go in Monday, I'm bringing all my, see, this time I'm going to be prepared. I have a bug, we call it bug out bag. Everything's going to be in my bug out bag, my clothes, all my stuff for shaving, because I had nothing there. And
you didn't expect to stay that long before.
And I didn't expect to stay. So when I go see the doctor, I'm going to bring my stuff with me just in case they bring me in that day. Because I don't want to waste time because, you know, it's an hour, an half drive for Diane. No, hour drive.
It's an hour drive for me, yeah.
You know, it's a long drive. And so I'm going to be prepared. I always like to be prepared for this. And so Monday, I'll find out what the hell's going to happen. I'm not happy if, you know, I know they want to do a bypass, but they got to schedule me in. They got to do that. But the hospital I was in was very nice. It was almost like a hotel room. You wouldn't even know it was a hospital. The room I was in, it was just like a real nice room. So I hope I can go through this and get through it and survive. And that's all I can do. Nothing I can do. You know, it sucks when you have no control of your life and that's it. You have no control. And, you know, it's funny about having bypass because I remember from last time when they put you under, it's really weird because it's like you die. And it's hard for me to relate this to you guys, but they give you some shot to put you up, right? And they say count to 10 or count 10 backwards. Or
count 100 backwards.
Okay, so you're going 10, 9, 8, and then you wake up.
Next thing you remember.
You just wake up. So in other words, you know, you just went through 4 or 5 hours. I don't know how long it takes. Mm-hmm. Who knows? But anyway, you just counted 10, 9, 8, and now you're waking up somewhere. and that's it. That's all you remember. Because it's just the strangest feeling.
You have no sense of passage of time.
No sense of nothing happening,
right,
except someone waking you up. So that's what I would expect to happen again.
And they're saying that a lot of part of the procedure is a lot simpler than it used to be six years ago.
He claims we do a lot of things different now. Yeah, maybe you're doing it right. Who the hell knows? Maybe it's not like the other guy. You know, I don't know what the hell they did, but if I'm getting 5 years out of it. My stents lasted me 13 years, my stents. They lasted me 13 years. So anyway, we'll see how it goes. Henry, how long have you had your stents?
I'm mute there. That's a good question. I've forgotten how long I've had my stents. I've got 7.
About 20 years.
The surgery was bypass surgery was in 2001.
You had a bypass?
Yeah, I had a bypass.
Also, you had stents, and then you had a bypass too.
What did I do? I don't remember. I don't remember if I had stents first.
Usually you would have had stents first.
Yeah.
And then, again, the stents don't last. They tell you, the guy told me, your stents are only going to last 15 years. And they lasted 13 years.
Yeah.
And so the same thing must have happened with you. You must have had stents. They lasted so many years, and then you had to have a bypass.
Mm-hmm. I think I had the bypass, and I had stents after that. But the other way around. I just remember that somebody said you lose something every time you go under. You know, yeah. When
probably
I had my
memory,
bypass,
can't remember though.
What I had lost was the directions to my grandmother's house.
Really?
I couldn't, you know, because, well, I live 300 miles away from my hometown, you know. Yep. But when I went back there to visit, I said, how do I get to grandma's house? I couldn't figure out how to do that. But that was the only thing. Jim, it's scary as hell when you're going to go under like that for you don't know how many hours and you wake up and they've had you intubated. The heart gets stopped. There's a blood machine that circulates blood.
You know, he told me, he said they don't do that anymore.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. He said they don't stop the heart anymore. They have a whole way of doing it different. So hopefully, you know, maybe it's going to be better. I don't know. Honestly, I would like to get another, you know, 10 or 20 years out of this. That would be good. I like to live to in my 90s, but, you know, it is what it is, you know. But anyway, so that's my health situation. You know, I'm okay now, but, you know, I don't know what's going to happen.
And you can't count on it because of the problems you had before. Let's say you were trying to return to your walk and talks or something. I have a feeling that's not going to change at this point unless you get something else done. You're going to
I don't think I could do my walk and talks now.
Right, right. That'd be pushing your luck, as they say.
I'll just wait another month or two or whatever. Hopefully I can get back in the swing. You know, if this all goes good, then I can do it again. So it's just, you know, I'm off. My whole system's off because I'm used to getting up in the morning, doing something a certain way, doing my walk and talks, doing the video. Now it's not like that now. So
no, it's a temporary change. Maybe temporary. We've had to adjust.
But I want to say I got a lot of good support. A lot of people have been emailing me. People have called me. I never got back on the calls. But I just figured if I'm talking now, I'll say thank you for everybody that's called and best wishes. It's been really good. Okay. Just to let you know, people, you know, the people have shown that they really care and, I'm really happy with that. And, so far no one's really wished me dead yet.
Oh yeah. They have. Don't you remember a crazy guy?
Yeah. But that's before. I haven't had any calls since.
Okay.
But you know, when you went away, cool. Diane, when you went away to visit your daughter, the crazy guy called. He goes, "I hope our plane crashes."
Oh, that was nice. Yeah, that's likely not going to happen. We were not going to take off at all. Went from the experience.
You know, people are just so cruel. I mean, it's like why do you guys get so worked up if you don't agree with us on something? If you don't agree with us, you don't agree with us. You know, but I would never wish anybody dead.
Absolutely not. That's ridiculous. You know how many people would be involved in a plane crashing? That's psychopathic.
Okay, well, anyway, that's I just want to thank everybody because, like I said, you know, I get 5 or 6 phone calls and people really nice. And that's good. And I'm happy about that.
If you don't mind, I don't. We did talk a little bit regarding my trip up to Detroit and then but not back. It was almost nightmarish going up, except things tend to work out. As a result of the timing, Henry picked me up from the airport, took me to my daughter's, and then came back Saturday, picked me up, and took me to their demonstration, and take me back to my daughter's. That's not a short trip. And Henry was a real honorable and helpful in being just really in a time of need. That was just most incredible, and which I very much appreciate. Be happy to know, Henry, that my trip back was flawless as far as the flying is concerned. The pilot great. Came out and said, looks like we're going to get you back early. And and then he says, we're going to try to get you back even earlier. Then it was a nightmare getting back to Houston because they are in constant construction mode in every single terminal. And that means all the roads in between. I know Detroit had some construction some years ago. I don't think it can hold a candle to the chaos that occurs in Houston. Houston's the 5th largest airport, as I understand. And then the traffic and the semis, it's unbelievable amount of traffic right now. And that wasn't even rush hour. But I was able to get back, and I would a half hour later than I'd wanted to. Jim says, why are you so late? I said, well, semis and road construction and massive traffic for all the way north. But it was good to get back, and I was able to do all the unloading and unpacking and processing mail and taking care of the cat litter and all sorts of things that needed to be done.
All the stuff that I was doing.
Oh, you were done. You were completely changing out the cat litter, but you were taking care of that, though.
I took care of everything like clockwork.
It wasn't bad. It wasn't as bad as I feared. Maybe not as good as I'd hoped, but it wasn't bad at all. That's my job. That's what I do. So anyway, I was super kudos and super helpful to Henry. I was wonderful being able to take part in his demonstration. And I applaud you and Chris and how courageous you are. Especially, I really felt it. Now, the people at the Zundel trial could feel the soul sucking that the Jews that were there, they could feel it in the courtroom. I could feel some of that evil presence as we were standing out in front of the hall of hell, or the synagogue that you used to attend. That's how I describe it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm glad I could help out. I think that I did get my sugar daddy, as I told you, that you know he came through with the money to reimburse me for the gasoline that I burned coming down back and forth to Ohio. I forgive you for making me drive to Ohio, that Buckeye State that we this that us Wolverines.
You can't help it.
And it was
that propaganda.
And Jim, I think the thing you're going to go through next week, hopefully Monday or something like that, is going to enable you to go back to doing your walk and talks.
That might be a good goal. Well, you know, it's been a rough year. Well, let me put it that way.
Yeah, okay? That's very true. That's very true.
I mean, I just can't believe that's it's really. I mean, other than selling my house, which that really went beautifully.
Yeah, but you didn't know that. What a stressful thing that was.
Well, whatever. But anyway, everything worked out, and now I got. It's like, you know, here you are thinking, oh wow, I sold my house, and now I can move on to do this or that. Now it's like, oh, now I can't even do that.
No, nope, not so fast.
Not so fast.
Yeah, not so fast, yeah.
Okay, so Henry, you're with us today. So why don't you tell us, if you want to talk a little bit about Diane and your situation, or you could talk about what you want to talk about today, what you did today, because you do it every Saturday. You go and do your little
demonstration.
Demonstration, boots on the ground in front of the temple there.
Today was a rather, well, I'm a little disappointed in myself today. I got into it with a lady, a Jewish lady with her little boy. And I regret flying off the handle a little bit with her. But in any case, I'm going to first put down here a video. If Diana can pick this up, if you see this on the chat box.
YouTube, huh?
Well, this is from Chris. He hasn't been banned from YouTube yet.
Okay.
We both have videos of the same altercation with this gentleman who was quite irate and looking for a fist fight.
Wow.
You can see if you play it from Chris's camera, this is his camera first. And this guy drives by and flips Chris off. Today, of course, is the anniversary of the attack of the USS Liberty.
Right.
57 years ago, the Jews bombed our ship and tried to put it at the bottom of the Mediterranean. Mm-hmm. And they were unsuccessful, but they were successful at killing U.S. sailors and injuring others. We were commemorating that with signs today and our T-shirts. We were wearing them again today because today was the anniversary, June 8th.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, traitor. Traitor. Traitor to America.
Chris loses it every now and then, too. I didn't help him by losing it with the woman before this. But this guy's going to go around the corner and come marching back.
Got some words to say, traitor? You give me the finger over our naval vets killed on this day?
Good point.
Our naval vets killed on this day, and you give me the finger?
Here comes the guy, and I'm behind him.
Traitor, huh? You are a traitor.
Hmm.
You gave me the finger.
Damn right I did.
Yeah, looking at my sign, which is about our naval vets who were murdered by Israelis. Jews.
Jews, huh?
Jews, huh?
Jews, Israelis.
Jews.
Jews, huh?
It's a Jewish homeland. It's a Jewish state. It's not anything else.
Don't spit on me.
Get your face out of my face.
Don't call me a traitor.
You're a traitor.
Don't be aggressive. If you want to talk, we will talk.
When Henry will talk, I'm not talking to you.
You want
to
talk?
Traitor.
When somebody looks at this sign and gives me the finger?
You say that?
The finger? Are you an American citizen? Do you care about our naval vets?
Yeah.
Okay. Why'd you give me the finger?
Why'd you call me a traitor?
Because you gave me the finger, you fucking moron. Jesus Christ.
Oh, you motherfucker.
Oh, eat it.
You want to...
Just eat it.
Come on.
Just eat it. Go away. What a fucking idiot. Yeah, that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Go call the police.
Moron, your fucking face.
Yeah.
When they act like one, sure. You don't like truth, apparently.
Oh.
You don't like this truth, and you don't like this truth.
You call me a moron.
No, I don't call people morons.
No? You just give them the finger?
Yeah. You just tell them to fuck off. You tell them to fuck off.
You bring moron in someone's face?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yep.
You know what? This is a problem. People like you are a problem.
People like me.
Yeah. Yes.
People like you who say fuck America and fuck our naval vets. Who are serving. They were serving in international waters. International waters.
When did I say fuck America?
By giving him the finger.
By giving me the finger after you looked at this sign. I saw your eyes. I got it on camera.
The sign that got me was the one that says Jews bomb hospitals.
Is that a lie?
The ones that got me.
Is that a lie?
You know what?
It's not a lie. You don't like truth.
Hold it now. You know that 100 Jewish doctors bombed the doctor.
Well,
I don't know if you want
to. He was butthurt. Yeah.
Rewatch it from my video because there was actually a meeting of the minds as he left, at least between me and him. But you know, Chris. You know, Chris is he's the brave guy, man. He doesn't back down. I thought for sure I was going to have to pick up some pieces because I'm not much of a fighter. But I mean, I would jump in and do what I could. But
that was
good. If you want to play it back from the other side, from my camera, I don't know if you want to. I don't want to waste anybody's time because a lot of it's repeated, but a lot of it, but some of it is different. And that's the video. Of course, I had to go to BitChute because I've been banned from YouTube.
Right.
I actually think this guy actually, you could have made friends with him. I think if you showed him what was going on, I bet you he would have.
Yeah, like a meeting of the minds, like you said.
We should watch my video then, because maybe you'll agree, maybe you'll disagree, but I'm coming at it from down the street because I hear Chris yelling.
Yeah.
And I know something's up.
You bet.
I see the guy pulling over, so I follow. In hindsight, I could have.
I bet you he's a vet.
He looks pretty young.
He would have said something, I think.
Yeah, I do too.
You give me the finger on the wall, okay? Our naval vets killed on this day, and you give me the finger.
Because the guy goes speechless after a while, too.
Yeah, looking at my sign, which is about our naval vets who were murdered by Israelis. Jews, huh?
Killed Israelis.
Jews, huh? It's a Jewish homeland. It's a Jewish state. It's not anything else.
Don't spit on me.
Get your face out of my face.
Don't be aggressive. Don't be aggressive. If you want to talk, we will talk.
Henry will talk. I'm not talking to you.
If you want
to
talk, Raider.
When somebody looks at this sign and gives me the finger.
You say that?
The finger?
We were
attacked. Are you an American citizen? Do you care about our naval vets?
Yeah.
Okay. Why'd you give me the finger?
Why'd you call me a traitor?
Because you gave me the finger, you fucking moron.
Oh, you motherfucker.
Eat it. You want to just eat it.
Come on.
Eat it. Go away. What a fucking idiot. You want to call someone?
Why don't you call the police?
Yeah, that's a good idea.
No.
Yeah.
Go call the police.
You want to call someone a moron to their fucking face?
Yeah.
When they act like one, sure. You don't like
truth. It's free speech.
You don't like this truth.
Right.
It's free
speech.
You get to
call me a moron if you want.
No, I don't call people morons.
No? You just give them the finger?
Yeah.
You just give them the finger? That's respectful?
You tell them
that's respectful?
Moron in someone's face?
Yeah.
Oh. You know what? This is a problem. People like you are a problem.
People
like me.
Yeah.
Yes.
We're the problem.
People like you who say, fuck America, fuck our naval vets.
I didn't
who are serving. They were serving in international waters. International waters.
When did I say fuck America?
By giving him the finger.
By giving me the finger after you looked at this sign. I saw your eyes. I got it on camera.
I'll tell you the sign that got me was the one that says Jews bomb hospitals.
Is that a lie?
That's the ones that got me.
Is that a lie?
You know what?
It's not a lie. You don't like truth.
Well, hold it now. Do you know that 100 Israeli Jewish doctors signed a document agreeing with the IDF that it was okay to bomb hospitals?
I'm not going to engage with you.
Well,
but when you have a sign that says Jews bomb hospitals,
also have one you're promoting
anti-Semitism.
Who cares? Jews have brought it on themselves, haven't they?
Who cares?
I don't care. Call me an anti-Semite. I don't care.
I don't care what you think.
I don't care what you think, sir. Jews bomb hospitals. You think the pilots were German Christians dropping those bombs?
Still dropping the
bombs. No.
Thank you for being civil.
Thank you.
Well, I think this guy was a vet, in my opinion.
I don't know. He would have said so. I think he would have said so.
No. The reason why he didn't, because that would have made him look bad. Okay. See, he already established. He gave him the finger because he saw the sign that said, and then Chris is saying that, you know, the Liberty was bombed, but you know, so he already knew the vet thing. Okay. And he didn't want to get into that end of it because he would have to say, I'm a vet.
So I don't think he knew about the USS Liberty. I think most people are totally
still learning though.
No, he does.
I don't know. Well, I don't know. I really think the guy was, he could get to him. My opinion. I think he could. You know, if you ever could sit down with him again, you know.
I agree.
He said maybe so in a different setting, but he did say he wasn't going to engage with you.
Well, no, you got to understand. He was stuck.
Yeah.
He didn't want to talk too much because he didn't want to give away his.
That he didn't know anything, basically.
His position. He didn't want to give away his position. You know what I mean? That's what it was. And so, anyway, that's. I think you could do something with the guy if he ever showed up again. If he would, I don't know if he ever would, but whatever.
They rarely show up a second time.
Yeah.
You know, we just had like two other altercations today. One was, I didn't know how to answer that question. I mean, Anna, I don't know what my BitChute channel is. Ann Arbor Henry. Is that, I mean, they made me pick a name and that's what I picked.
Oh, that's cool.
But that's, I guess that's how, if you want to follow my videos, I guess you can go there and see the five or six videos I've put up on BitChute now. So that's available to anybody, as far as I know. Maybe a contribution to BitChute would be a good idea. You guys contribute to BitChute to keep them alive? Or
No.
They have they been good to you? Or
yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll see what I can do on.
See, what happens is every time I contribute, then the next thing you know, I get kicked off.
Yeah, I know.
I'm just telling you, that's how it happens. Yeah. I say, oh, here's a good site I'm on now. I'm going to give him $100, a couple $100, and then I give him the money. Then all of a sudden, I get kicked off. And it's I don't trust any of them. That's why.
Well, wait and see. It's just a matter of time for BitChute, but so far, so good.
Yeah, I just didn't know if they were going to keep me going or not. And so far, it's been okay. I can't complain. You know, they've been. You know, I probably should give him some money, you know.
We'll see.
Yeah. I have no problem with that. Mm-hmm. But if I get kicked off, I'm going to be pissed.
Well, if I give him money, I'll take it back once if you get kicked off again.
Sure.
We have to have some solidarity here. But that's the report from today. I don't know what else is going to happen. I noticed that the give them $6 million.
Yeah. Diana always pops that up. Somehow she always gets the $6 million in.
Yeah. What about reparations on top of that, right?
They owe us. With as much damage as they did, particularly fostering that World War II, it cost a lot of money to rebuild Japan and Germany. And I want my money back.
Yeah. So. It's a... You know, somebody was talking earlier here about how people can be so cruel. And we have Nikki Haley signing the bombs that are going to be dropped on civilians, you know, in Gaza. Mm-hmm. And mostly women and children, the facts are in. Something like 92% of the casualties or the dead are women and children, or were women and children. It's just a sick society when we have leaders. I mean, she could be the next vice president.
Yeah, that's true.
Possibly. And, I mean, we don't have leaders anymore. We don't have statesmen. We have people that know how to manipulate a system so that they can win a vote. And that's the best candidate, you know, for the job.
Well, I wonder if her handler told her that was a good idea, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, right. I mean, you know, it's just terrible that would be somebody who would, you know, that's going to be in a leadership position in our country and is willing to just.
Hey, Reese.
Put sign on to ball.
Oh, hi, Diane.
Okay.
All right, Henry. Thank you. You don't have to stay if you don't want it, but thank you for your report, and we appreciate that. I'm glad Diane got to see what the heck you do.
Well, that was nice. I think that we need to you know, spread the wealth, as they say. And you know, I think we and Chris and I are doing the right thing. I have yet to find another method to draw attention to the issue and to make the appropriate demands. So until then, I'm going to continue doing what I'm doing.
Cool.
Hello, Reese. Is there? Does he have something to report?
Hi, Reese. Like
well,
for that.
Well, I just wanted to say first, Jim, I'm glad to hear that you sound well. I thought when you came on, you were going to sound really weak.
Well, I'm well now. I mean, I'm living, but
he hasn't had any surgery or anything.
Nothing's happened until next week, so we'll see what happens.
I see. What I mean is you sound vital. I've known people with like more serious heart conditions that sound really depleted and weak, but you sound, you know, like you're still vital. Things are functioning okay with your heart right now?
Well,
for now,
it's still beating. I must admit, it's still beating. I guess I have one artery working.
Well,
for sure, yeah.
Hey, look, by the way, I did pass by a rabbi today that he says he knows well of Jim Rizzoli and his predicament. He wanted to recommend a doctor to you, Dr. Kevorkian.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. Yeah,
he said he's very successful.
Yeah, he is. Yeah, that's nice.
Well, my doctors haven't been Jews. They've been Indians.
And apparently highly recommended. My daughter works at one of the hospitals, and my son-in-law, and they've had dealings with the doctors that Jim has basically been spoken with, and said highly, highly recommended. And my daughter doesn't give praise easily, and she used a lot of very varies in her explanation of being very good and effective.
Okay. Yeah, very good. Well, by the way, I don't want to sound like Monday morning quarterback, but I've had over 20 years experience. I know Gary Null, a friend of mine, was actually a personal friend and assistant to Gary Null. I learned a lot from him over the years. Are you familiar with, high-dose vitamin C IV drips and chelation therapy, IV chelation?
Well, I've heard of it, yeah.
Yeah.
All right, I'm not sure that would be something that would work right now. You know, if you have a serious blockage, you might not have the time to wait. But I'll tell you one thing. When Linus Pauling, who I believe was doing 15,000 milligrams vitamin C, both orally and through intravenous, when he died and they did an autopsy on him, they said he had the arteries of a young child. That's how clean his arteries were.
Okay, doing an autopsy suggests that whatever means they've been using didn't work. Just saying.
Well, he died over 80 years old. He was in the 90s, I believe, when he died.
Oh, okay.
It was in the 90s.
That point was somewhat left out. When did you want me to do a chapter of the book, Jim?
Just hold on, Diane. We'll crank it now. So,
okay.
Let's get Dave Gaheri in here.
Yeah.
And by the way.
Hey there. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Hey, Dave. Go ahead.
Hey. No, please. I cut you off, Reese.
No, I was just going to say I heard that incident. I'm glad I wasn't there with that. I guess he had a sign set up for the USS Liberty today on the anniversary because, honest to God, I have a short temper these days. That guy would have had a bad hair day had I been there. If he didn't recant, I would have given him an opportunity to recant.
Oh, dear.
If he didn't, he would have had a bad hair day.
Well, that's probably worked out well then.
Yeah, you would have treated him like the Bolsheviks treated their enemies, right?
Well, let me just say this. There's one thing that I cannot tolerate. Ignorance and arrogance combined. Mm. Ignorance I can tolerate, but when it's ignorance and arrogance, especially when you're talking about the lives of USS naval servicemen, I don't tolerate that very well. That's where, you know, the old song, you're walking on the fighting side of me by Merle Haggard. That's when you're on the fighting side of me when you're doing that.
Mm-hmm. That's a bad comment.
Well, you'll be fighting forever because there's so much ignorance out there.
That's very true.
I hope my mic isn't too loud.
Ignorance. No, we hit
it fine. Okay, cool. So, Jim, great to see you. Of course.
Good to be seen.
I read an update Yes. I read an update on a show about you, so thank you, Diane, for that update, because everyone was concerned about you. And Henry, it's always great to see you.
Absolutely.
Unfortunately, I don't see Henry or Jim in their USS Liberty t-shirts.
Yeah, mine's somewhere around here.
It's in the drawer.
Yeah, it's in the drawer. I don't even think about putting that on today, but you're right. I should have put that one on. It's in the drawer somewhere.
Well, I did put it on, Dave, for our protest today, for our vigil. And Chris wore his as well.
You know I'm teasing you guys, right?
Oh, yeah.
Well, those shirts are available on MoneyTreePublishing.com, right?
No, they're not. And that's not why I'm calling, though. But thank you, Uncle Murray. But no, that's ErasingTheLiberty.com. But I just wanted to get, because a bunch of people, there you go, a bunch of people were asking about Henry's new video address. And, of course, Diana, I think, got it out of him, his new BitChute channel. So that's one thing. One guy said, I've been waiting a month for Henry to give out his BitChute channel. So I said, let me get on there and tell him, because I guess you had never given it out before, Henry? Or
I didn't even know what it was.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, there you go.
He wasn't unwilling. It just was
non-existent. Now that's it. Right, exactly. Without arrogance. I hope you can understand.
Yes. Yeah. I hope, well, I'm hoping the listener hears that. So they understand. And you're an engineer by trade, right, Henry?
True.
Yeah, right. So why did I call?
Yes.
Hold on a second. Let me find out. Hold on.
Somebody's got to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah, I did have something to say. And I just wanted to say.
You were great on this morning.
What's that? Say again?
You were great on Flood Show this morning.
Oh, thank you. Yeah,
I heard you on.
Yeah, it was a USS Liberty marathon, and I wanted to talk about Henry's BitChute channel to make sure everybody knew what it was. It's Ann Arbor Henry, right?
Right.
And so the folks who are listening to this now or watching it can know about that, and of course, to there it is. And oh, that's what it was. I just wanted to make a quick comment and then exit. And of course, wanted to give my regards to all you fine folks. You know, Reese, you said about, you know, if that was you there and you experienced this guy, the guy obviously doesn't know, and nobody knows about the USS Liberty.
That's right.
So that's right. I think, yeah, for me, I think the way to handle these type of people. Henry does it great, and there's no reason to have any confrontation, I think. You know, you just calmly, like the way like Ryan Massano gets up and talks about what he talks about in front of these council meetings. You know, the guy says, you know, he gives you the finger. Say this. Why did you give me the finger? Mm-hmm. And let the guy explain.
Yeah.
Why did he give you the finger?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what did I do? Right. And the guy could be obviously disarmed very quickly. It happens all the time.
Mm-hmm.
These people just are emotional.
That's
because
true.
they don't understand. So they have to be educated, like the way that you guys educate the public on the whole hoax. Very calm, very clearly. You know your material. The way that Henry educates the folks in that area, the bravery that all of you show. I don't think that, you know, getting to fisticuffs, although I do understand why someone would want to do that. But, you know, for myself, I've always enjoyed calmly speaking to folks and asking, like, why do you hate me? What did I do to you? And let them explain. And if they can't, they're going to walk away, right? And you won anyway. So there's no reason, unless, of course, you're dealing with Antifa. Yeah. But for the most part, if somebody like Henry going out there and holding up signs and you get the occasional, you know, unstable person. I mean, but this person realized the way, because the way that he was handled by Henry, primarily, Chris was great, but I mean, he realized that he was out of his league and he should leave, which he did.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't like it.
And it didn't turn right. into violence.
Right.
So I think we have to approach our topic with our topics, our individual topics, with that sort of a strategy, much like the radio network. We are educating people. We are giving them the information. We don't want to appear as a lunatic that, you know, why don't you believe me? How do you not know about the Holocaust, you idiot? Or and I'm not directing this to Reese. He just made me think of something. Or Henry, the way that he calmly does that. Yeah, Henry, you know, does want to trigger people, of course, which is great. He wants to trigger a reaction to them, to what he's doing. And he's a brave man for doing that. And he hasn't been attacked physically, thank goodness.
Yes.
You know, same with Ryan. Yeah, they might get arrested or everything. But, you know, I think it's really, it's incumbent on us to be like, you know, educators, to like teachers. Just to get out there and give the information, and when the pupil is ready to absorb it, right? What's that saying about a, you know, a teacher and a pupil, right? When the
leave can't it up argue, to, can you?
Leave it up to Diana.
Don't right? she? Yeah, she finds the priceless.
Right, right. It's great. You know, it's just it's important to be calm. To, you know, we know our stuff, obviously, and, you know, they don't know the stuff, that's which right. is what all you guys do. And it's very important just to be calm and give them the information. And obviously, if you're not screaming at them, if you're just, you know, talking to them and saying, look, hey, you probably haven't researched this area. I can recommend a couple of books if you'd like. Oh, fuck you. I don't want, you know, okay, sure. All right. You know, so they could, and then they'll go away. Yeah, exactly. That's all I wanted to say.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave, before you go, there's a, Chris and I teach each other on Saturdays about having quiet dignity and grace. And I don't know if anybody is familiar with the movie Young Frankenstein. But this is where we get the phrase quiet dignity and grace, and you may enjoy it, Dave.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. Yes, I've always been a fan of that sort of approach.
If science teaches us anything, no volume.
It's hard to get the volume.
Accept our failures as well as our successes. Quiet, dignity, and grace.
Son of a bitch! Yeah.
That's the other side of that coin.
Watch Eco. It's... He says quiet dignity and grace.
Then he goes back to strangle him. I'm not sure why that would be done to Frankenstein, but I mean his monster rather.
Yeah, that was anyhow, that's what we admonish each other every week about.
Remind each other. Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. I'm gonna have to leave David.
By the way, my audio dropped out.
I'm sorry, Henry, I didn't hear what you said.
I just said it's good to hear your voice. Though I can't see you.
It's always great to hear your voice, Henry. Yeah.
And,
oh, yes, yes. I don't have my camera on because it's dark here and I look scary. And no, I don't. But no, it really is great to hear and see you. Henry, geez, I interviewed you a long time ago. And after that, we came on the USS Liberty Massacre Hour. And it's funny, somebody, you know, we get all these emails from folks, right? And she better not leave. And, you know, I see the USS Liberty, they call it the USS Liberty Massacre now. And I remember when Phil Turney and I were doing a radio show on Rents. And, you know, we had to come up with a name for the radio show. And so the way that my brain works or doesn't work is that all of a sudden it'll pop into my head and I'll come up with the answer that I'm looking for. And it's usually pretty good. And then I came up with the USS Liberty Massacre Hour because when I thought about the Liberty, what I had known up to that point, it wasn't an incident. It wasn't an attack. It wasn't a battle. It was a massacre. And when I talked to Phil about it, he liked it. And then we, you know, sent out an email to folks who were interested in the Liberty about the new show. And we did get some blowback from picking the word massacre from two Jews who were in that group. This guy, I'll think of his name, but anyway, Eileen Fleming. There are some people who latch onto the Liberty. And they, you know, a lot of people are interested in the topic and they don't really study it like they should, but they latch onto it and they think they know what they're talking about and they stake a claim with the Liberty. Eileen Fleming was one. Alan Sobrowski was the other. And I think they were both half Jews. And they really gave me a hard time and Phil a hard time about the name, Massacre, saying you can't pick, it wasn't a massacre.
Really?
And it wasn't, you know, I guess, looked at, and this is just, you know, maybe 5 years ago or so, it wasn't looked at as a massacre, a little more than 5 years ago, maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago. It was looked at as something else, but now it's seeping into, you know, the vernacular, into the conventional discussion of it, that the Liberty was a massacre. And it's good to see that, but it's great to see, you know, folks like you continuing to, and Chris, continuing to, you know, talk about that event, because I know I'm going on Wednesday to the funeral for one of the survivors who I was relatively close with, and unfortunately a lot of them have passed since I really got into this, which was in August of 2015 when Phil Turney asked me to do something for the Liberty, although he didn't know what it was that he wanted to do. But that's when I really started to dig into it. And so I've had Liberty survivors over at my house. They've slept here. I've slept at their homes. We've eaten together, drank together, partied together, laughed together, done events together. And, you know, they're just like us. They're just regular people. There's, you know, the difference is that they went through this massacre, you know, and we didn't. But it's a good thing to bring this story up every year because the reminder is like what I'm going to go to Pensacola on Wednesday and go to this funeral. And it's just sad to see that even just the number of folks that I've interviewed, survivors that I interviewed, are no longer with us. And they weren't able to see justice. They weren't able to see their, it's not their Congress, but the Congress, which is owned by the Jews. They weren't able to see the Congress conduct one investigation into that because there has never been one investigation, even though you'll hear, oh, no, there were like 10, 20 separate. There were none. There were zero investigations into the war crimes that were committed by Israel. So it's great that you guys are keeping it alive.
It's a total cover-up.
It still is, yeah, absolutely.
Right, right.
But the lid has been blown off thanks to you guys. You know, we're all pioneers in this stuff. And, you know, everybody else is catching up with what we knew so long ago. Or somebody like David Duke who was onto this in the mid-60s, which is incredible if you think about it. Because
that's like, pretty good. I got on in 2008 myself.
Yeah, right. There you go. Right. A lot of us are relatively late to the game, but we're here and we are the, you know, the force that's going to change the future. And we already have. So the genie can't be put back in the bottle. So we just keep going. You guys are loved. You really are. I know that for sure because I get a lot of phone calls and emails and I have to put up with this stuff, right? So answering people and I'm kidding. I really do though. And people love you. So keep going. Great to see all of you. I love all of you and we'll talk soon.
All right, Dave. Thank you.
Amen, brother. Have a great night.
All right, Henry, too.
Bye.
Yep. May I suggest doing the commercial before?
That's fine. All right, Henry, thank you for being on, and we'll see you next week, hopefully.
Be well, Jim. That's my prayer.
Well, it's out of my hands.
All right.
That's true.
Do the best you can with what you got.
Yeah. That's okay. Right. So we're gonna take a break since we could start off after the discussion here. We're on Speak Free Radio. I want to thank Dave and the people there that keep us going there. Mm-hmm. Appreciate that. And then we're going to talk about the also Money Tree Publishing is where the books are published that we direct people's attention to. If you want to get any books relating to the topics that we think you should know about, go to Money Tree Publishing and you'll see the books I have back here are there. Those I have six of the books here. And the one that we've been talking about this every week, we haven't done it yet today, but the 6 Million Factor Fiction that we're going to be highlighting probably in a second hour.
Thank you.
And that's it. So there's two books that you should have, okay? 6 Million Factor Fiction and The Myth of German Villainy.
That's right.
Those two books, if you have those two books, you will know everything you have to know that you should know about World War II, World War I, actually.
World
War II, the war, and the Holocaust. Once you know those two things, you got the whole picture.
Yeah,
so that's right. That's what I recommend. And, of course, the other books there are excellent books, too, and the videos there are excellent. But, again, at least we have a site that you can get our books, the books that we really, like or try to get out there. So,
DVD series.
Yeah, I mean, really good stuff. If you people are new to this, you can take a look. And if you use, I guess, Hoax, it says you get 10% off any purchase you make there, whatever. Don't matter to me. I'll pay whatever it's worth. To me, anything that you pay with the people like us, I'm happy to give them whatever they want because you're supporting a good cause. Always look at it as a support, It's not like, I got to spend money for a book.
No.
No. I want to give these people money. I'm getting a book. Okay. I'm getting a book, but I'm going to support the cause. So hopefully that's how you have to look at it. Don't look at it as anything costing you money. Look at it as you're helping people out there to do good and continue to do good, too, because everybody needs money to keep an organization going. And whether it's printing, whether it's
thank you, Diana.
Well, the Jews always get their money. They get anytime they need money for something, they just bring out the Holocaust and they get millions of dollars.
That's right.
No, we don't. It's not like that with us. We expose the Holocaust. We get nothing except grief. Okay, that's what we get.
That's right.
So anyway, okay. So that's that. That's there. So. Okay, so, Reese, what's been going on with you? I think your mic's off. No, you got to put your mic on.
There you go.
No, my mic, no, so, there it is. Now it's back on. Let's see, what's going on with me? I'm still a man in this team. It's been a struggle. He's, inside him is a bright, this kid has got a good nature. A kid that's basically mixed black, Hispanic. If you've met him, most people love this as soon as they meet him. He's got a enthusiasm and a goodness that just radiates. But he's also got a dark side from his mother, and it's been a struggle to hang in there with him. And I'm actually finding him a place to stay right now because he hasn't been home with his mom recently. So basically my project lately I've taken on.
All right, that's good.
So you know what? God put the things to do, That's what to do.
Your audio
maybe,
is
maybe one of them on the stream if he's with me.
Yeah, okay. All right. Well, anyway.
But this kid is educated.
Listen, we're gonna have to cut this because we can't hear you. The audio is bad. We're getting a bad audio.
Can't understand him. Yeah.
Yeah, so
it's slipping. Maybe if you come out and come back in, maybe it'll clear up.
It's cutting out every other word.
I'm going to come in with my earbud, Bluetooth earbud, and see if that works. I got you.
Okay.
I'm going to come back in after the hour starts.
All right, we'll see what you can do. Okay. All right. Okay, so we're getting into the second half of the discussion here. And we didn't cover our book. So Miss Diane is going to start off our discussion with the 6 Million Fact of Fiction. And she's going to continue on. Maybe you can tell us where you are in the book and what you're going to get on with.
Chapter 16. We talked about Treblinka last week.
Right.
And chapter 16 is Madonic. And that's what we're going to be talking about. It's very interesting what occurred. I'm looking at chapter 16 right now. Okay. Madonic Lublin originally built as a POW camp for Soviet Army prisoners. It was situated within direct view of the city of Lublin in Poland, achieved brief fame in the Holocaust storyteller's legend immediately after the war, but has since diminished in importance. The reason for this change in status has primarily been a realization among the Holocaust experts that the initial wave of propaganda and stories about the camp were so grossly exaggerated that it was damaging to the legend to highlight Madonic prominently. Even the United States Holocaust Memorial Museum admits Madonic's primary purpose was to house Jews, not kill them. So Madonic is no longer on the death camp list. That doesn't happen very often. And it was so quietly removed. The origin of Madonic as a POW camp of the Waffen-SS in Lublin was constructed in November 41 as a POW camp to accommodate the large number of Russian soldiers captured during the invasion of the Soviet Union, which commenced in June of that year. By March 42, orders were issued for the camp to have the capacity to hold 250,000 Soviet POWs, although official records indicate that the numbers never approached that figure. Prisoners were employed at nearby industrial sites, with the largest being the Steyr Daimler-Puch weapons and munitions factory. The camp was also situated close to the former Polish-Soviet border. Consequently, when the Soviet armies advanced westward after repelling the German invasion, Madonic became the first German camp to be liberated in July 44, a full 9 months before the war concluded. The Germans evacuated the camp hastily, leaving it to be captured almost entirely intact. The sole structure that had been destroyed was the wooden housing of the crematorium, which had succumbed to a fire a few days prior. Some claim the fire was intentional, but since no other part of the camp was affected and the brick crematorium ovens remained unscathed, the likelihood of deliberate arson appears minimal. The first Madonic show trial was in 1944, and upon discovering the camp, the Soviets, motivated by a desire for retribution after German revelation of communist atrocities like the Katyn massacre, where NKVD officers executed thousands of Polish army officers and intellectuals, swiftly disseminated all manner of stories about the camp. So the reason why the lies that we've heard about the camps and about the Jews, particularly in the Soviet zones, which were east in Poland primarily, were to cover up the reports of Soviet atrocities. Well, yours is worse than ours. As it turns out, it was the Soviets trumped everybody on their atrocities. So anyway, these claims echoed without question by Western media spoke of gas chambers and the mass execution of 1 million Jews, coupled with an additional 500,000 non-Jewish victims. Six German guards who were left behind in the hasty retreat faced trial in Lublin in November 44. They were formally accused of the deaths of 1.7 million individuals. All six defendants received the death penalty after a brief hearing and were executed in December of 44. In a theatrical trial reminiscent of many overseen by the Soviets during that era, such as the infamous Katyn cover-up alluded to earlier. The number of Madonic victims varies from 1.7 million to 79,000. The Soviet claims, of course, 1.7 million were soon challenged by other leading Holocaust historians as being implausible, even by their exaggerated standards. So the Soviets were coming up against the storytellers, the hoax storytellers' own information. Consequently, the number of victims attributed to Madonna continues to vary widely depending on the source consulted. And he has a whole list of anywhere from nearly 1.4 to 79,000. The significant fluctuation in the number of victims ranging, well, like I just said, underscores the lack of concrete evidence beyond unverified accounts and speculation surrounding Madonna. Gas chamber added to post-war rebuilt Madonna crematory building. The state of the camp when captured by the Russians was conducive to anti-Nazi propaganda. Disease, primarily typhus, which leads to extreme weight loss, had claimed the lives of hundreds of inmates, and a fuel shortage had impeded the camp crematorium from disposing of a significant number of bodies hygienically. These are the facts. A factory existed within the Madonna camp area operated by inmates assigned to process the clothing acquired from occupied Poland, clean it, and ready for distribution throughout the Reich. This detail was overshadowed by the propagandistic narrative. Consequently, visitors to Madonna are still shown stacks of clothing and shoes and informed they belong to gassed Jews, despite the absence of concrete evidence supporting the claimed gassings, even by the hoax storytellers. And the impossibility of the Madonna gas chambers, assertion that their disinfection station functions as a homicidal gas chamber was initially proposed by the Soviet commission that investigated the camp in 1944. This communist commission was the first to suggest that Jews had been gassed with Zyklon B and carbon monoxide at the camp. I suspect the Soviets weren't terribly bright, and they figured that it looks like poison, therefore it must have been used on people, not realizing that something substandards of their equivalent of raid wasn't going to be enough to do the job. Holocaust storytellers simply assert that the insecticide was also employed to exterminate people, so that story got some momentum. Madonna functioned both as a labor camp and an extermination camp, they claimed, according to the storytellers and the guidebook of 2009. The wooden crematorium structure, which was engulfed in flames prior to the Soviet Army's arrival at the camp, is also alleged to have housed a gas chamber. The proposition of a wooden structure, which could not possibly be made airtight, containing a gas chamber, is exceedingly implausible. Naturally, there's no documentation to substantiate the assertion of a gas chamber within the crematorium building. Nevertheless, this has not deterred the presentation of a reconstructed building with a gas chamber to all visitors. And to coin, was it Carlos Porter who said the Holocaust was created or invented by Russia? on page 279, the other gas chambers presented to visitors at Madonna today are situated in what is referred to as Hut 41. One primary reason suggesting Hut 41 could not have functioned as a gas chamber is its position. It's visible from the road. It's visible to numerous people. It implies that any gassing procedure would have transpired within public view, followed by the subsequent transportation of the deceased bodies to the crematorium positioned at the outer edge of the camp's opposite end, likely via carts or trucks. Nobody saw this. Madonna drying room air vent misrepresented a Zyklon B insertion mechanism. So again, it was a drying room air vent opening through which the substance Zyklon B was poured into the gas chamber. The Soviet Commission asserted that the laundry section also functioned as a gas chamber, but this claim has been discreetly abandoned by the hoax storytellers. Madonna's real showers for gassing victims, a sign at the entrance of to Hut 41 reads, bath and disinfection. It's claimed that this sign was placed there to lull the victims into a sense of security, but what it was it denied ever being a gassing facility in any capacity. And it's evident that Hut 41 functions solely as disinfection center. Inmates were instructed to undress and shower or bathe while their clothing was treated with Zyklon B insecticide, which is a fumigant, all as a measure to control lice and typhus in the camp. It's therefore ironic that the German efforts to maintain the health of their prisoners by attempting to control disease are now cited as evidence of mass murder. Madonna's gas bottles on display are carbon dioxide, not carbon monoxide. One of the gas chambers presented to contemporary visitors of Madonic incorporates a regular glass window on its wall. Logic dictates that purported victims would have immediately shattered the window. Yet this evident inconsistency is overlooked by the hoax storytellers and unnoticed by the multitude of tourists frequenting the camp annually. The anomalies of Madonic second and third gas chambers, the second one shown to visitors the same size as the first. The walls of this chamber exhibit a distinct blue discoloration from Zyklon B. Additionally, there is an opening in the ceiling through which is alleged Zyklon B pellets were introduced into the chamber by SS officers on the roof. The third gas chamber displayed to contemporary visitors, its walls are also marked with Prussian blue, Zyklon B stained. Yet this room lacks any Zyklon B inlet. The plain glass window, Madonic's fourth gas chamber. Now, again, these have been debunked horrendously. So a primary issue with Operation Harvest Festival, it's a Harvest Festival hoax. Not content with propagating dubious claims about gas chambers and Madonic, the Holocaust storytellers have introduced an even more remarkable narrative regarding the camp referred to as Operation Harvest Festival. It purportedly entailed the execution of 17,000 Jews by machine gun in a single day. So anyway, regarding this festival, it's the designation itself. The whole hoax storytellers assert that this was the code name for a campaign to exterminate all Jews in the region following an uprising earlier in 43. However, the term Harvest Festival is conspicuously absent from all German documents, and there's no directive to eradicate all Jews in 43 in Loveland. The moniker was fabricated from thin air, and there's absolutely no German reference to such an operation or code word. The Musfeld confession. The second problem with this festival of mass shooting is that the entire account hinges on the confession of this one SS officer, Musfeld. Among the many implausibilities in this confession is the assertion that the victims were compelled to ascend specially prepared ditches in groups of 10, lay down prior to being shot. Consequently, as the ditches allegedly filled, the victims would soon find themselves atop piles of bodies. The feasibility of such a scenario persisting for 11 hours without interruption is highly questionable. Some form of resistance would have surely emerged, especially considering there were purportedly only 100 SS personnel in comparison to 17,000 prisoners, all purportedly queuing in sequence for execution. Furthermore, an enormous cachet of ammunition would have been requisite to execute such a vast number of individuals, especially considering that the SS men were purportedly equipped with standard German automatic weapons, with a firing rate of 600 rounds per minute. Assuming only four of the SS individuals fired for 2 seconds at a group of 10 Jews, this would amount to approximately 160 bullets. Continuous shooting for 11 hours would consume 3,600 bullets hourly, summing up to nearly 40,000 bullets throughout the day. Even with brief pauses, they couldn't keep up with the numbers that were required, that they claimed. As previously mentioned, the camp was visibly accessible from the town of Loveland. The notion that a prolonged 11-hour mass execution by gunfire would elude the awareness of the townspeople is unthinkable. Somebody would have saw something, somebody would have said something. Yet no one had knowledge of or spoke about the massacres prior to Musfeld's confession. The second Madonic trial of 75 was a significant trial of 16 former SS members, which took place in Dusseldorf, focusing on their purported involvement in the events at the Madonic camp. The trial's outcome was itself a repudiation of the extermination camp theory. The verdict, according to the court, was based almost entirely on eyewitness testimony. And we know how reliable that is. I believe they were executed. Some may have been incarcerated. The conclusion concerning Madonic, the camp unequivocally establishes a subsequent point. Just taking a look at the camp, just doing the math, just thinking. The facility was initially a POW camp for Soviet soldiers captured following the invasion of the Soviet Union. The primary objective of the camp was to furnish labor for nearby industrial establishments, including the Steyr Daimler Puch weapons and munitions factory, among others. The Soviets seized the camp in nearly intact condition in 1944. Only a few structures encompassing the building housing the camp's crematorium were incinerated. Following the war, the Communist administration in Poland embarked on reconstructing the crematorium edifice, introducing a gas chamber, which is currently showcased to visitors as an authentic gas chamber. The German cleaning and anti-lice clothing disinfection facilities are intentionally misconstrued as extermination centers by hoax storytellers. Allegations of mass executions within the camp boundaries termed Operation Harvest Festival rely not on tangible evidence, which is entirely absent, but on a coerced confession procured in 1947 from an unfortunate German. Lastly, even the U.S. Holocaust Museum Memorial, one of the primary purveyors of the Holocaust story, has conceded the primary purpose of the Madonna camp was labor provision only, not extermination.
Boom. Okay, good. It's really amazing. This book is really good because it has a lot of pictures in it. I mean,
is that an encyclopedia?
No.
Oh, okay. No. You're right. There are a lot of pictures.
I mean, it's really well done. I mean, I must admit, because I had the original somewhere.
The one, the seventh edition?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah,
because you did it. You did an entire series of videos on every single chapter and appendix.
Yeah, but this, like I said, if you have, again, you can see my book right there, The Myth of German Villainy, and if you have this book here, man, that's all you need to deal with the Holocaust topic and everything you want to know about this topic. Now, next week,
Dachau, right?
We're going to be talking about Dachau.
Yep. That's going to be interesting because we have things to contribute from our discussions with E. Michael Jones.
Right. And so we'll go from there. I don't know if that's going to fall, but anyway. Yeah, it fell. Yeah. Okay. We'll be talking about Dachau because Dachau is another one that people I got to pronounce it right. It's Dachau. Dachau.
We're going to say Dachau just because we're English speaking. That's the way it is, folk.
I'm just saying. We'll get into that next week. But this is a really good book. I mean, it's very intense.
I just touched the highlights of it and the conclusion. Some points dealing with
major topics. The thing with Madonna today is they kind of like pushed it aside.
Yeah, now, they did.
It's not being accepted as an extermination
camp. Yeah, they've been removed from the list. But that was kind of like, page 16 on the newspaper. It really didn't get the attention. That is monumental. It should be front page type of news.
No, people have short memories. And, right now the Jews could come up and say, everything we're saying is true. You know what? People still wouldn't care.
Nope.
They still
what with everything they said? What if they said everything and we said it's false? They'd still believe it.
Yeah,
right.
They're gonna believe what they're gonna want. They're gonna believe what they want to believe.
Their whole life is connected to the Holocaust has to be real.
Yeah. So that's what it is. I'm finding that the discussion on the internet on the Holocaust topic is getting less and less. You know what I mean?
Well, it's not being reported, whatever it is.
Well, it's just, I mean, nobody talks about it. I mean, nobody even in the videos talk about it. People, truth of people don't really talk about it. That's why I get disappointed because it's the reason why it gets pushed to the side and nobody knows about it is because it's not in the news all the time. It's not being brought to their attention all the time.
That's not for lack of effort on the Jews' part. Everything that happens in the world is because of the Holocaust. So it isn't. People are just probably getting tired of it.
Yeah.
In that respect.
Yeah. Well, whatever.
That's why they get a free pass on the USS Liberty and killing 34 of our naval soldiers and wounding almost 200 others. Because, well, you have to remember they went through the Holocaust.
Well, it's such nonsense because they try, you know, like Jay Crystal put out that book and he called it the Liberty Incident.
It wasn't an incident.
Just like Jay said, it was a bloody massacre.
It was.
You know, they had no real defenses on the ship. They had machine guns for boarders. right? They weren't for actual defense of anything.
They weren't expecting there to be a problem. Israel's supposed to be our ally. They're not supposed to be firing on our craft.
Imagine that, right?
Who knew?
Yep.
I appreciate Diana bringing this up to D-Day. This was MS King's article.
Excellent. Well, I just want to finish up a point about the Liberty.
Sure.
The thing that disappoints me about the Liberty
is
the fact that the men that are talking about it now, they don't relate it to the Jews and the Holocaust or nothing else.
That's true.
In other words, that's the only thing that they talk about is the Liberty. But when you want to go a step further to say, well, how do you feel about the Holocaust? Oh, I actually heard one of the guys say one time, he said that if you're going to speak at our meeting, we don't want to hear anything about the Holocaust.
They totally distance themselves from the discussion. Absolutely. Yeah,
so here's my thing. They want us to grab on to the Liberty, what happened to these guys.
Yeah.
Fine. But they don't want to grasp on to the whole thing.
The bigger picture
about the Jews, about Israel, about the Holocaust, everything. They push that aside because that's too controversial for them.
Yeah, so, it'll focus the Jews on them, and then they get definanced on every platform.
Well, I mean, it just sucks because it's like, what do you stand for? I mean, you only care about it when it applies to you and what happened to you there. But you don't want to go a step further to show there's more to the story. You know?
Why they think they can get away with it. Yeah.
So that's, that's always the case. Even with, like, 9/11, it's the same thing with 9/11. You get into these groups with 9/11, and then if you start bringing up other things like the Holocaust, they don't want you in those groups. They'll bounce you out of those groups.
That's right. And boycott you. Absolutely.
Yeah. So everything's great, except, when they want to just deal with their topic.
But it's really narrow, because like you said, they get away with it because they can invoke the Holocaust. Oh, well, I guess we got to give them a free pass because they went through the Holocaust. And they don't hesitate to trot it out every single chance, even when they're the criminal.
Well, I look at truth across the board 100%. If you're exposing something here, then keep going with all the things you expose. I mean, you don't stop.
Yeah, all of it, yes.
And that's what they do. They stop. Here's our topic. We're done with it. USS Liberty, 9/11, shootings, COVID, whatever. Let's stop there. We don't want to go any farther. We can't expose the Jews for everything. We got to give them a pass.
Especially on the one thing that they claim, one thing they worship, one thing they devoted to, and that's the Holocaust. Because everybody knows it's a touchy subject, and that's putting it mildly.
Right. Do you want to say something, Ben?
No, it's just amazing because it's just cowardice. You see what's coming, right? It just amazes me. Yeah. So, I mean, I just don't get it. The answer's right there in front of me.
Right.
Yeah.
That's why I never really jumped on the Liberty situation. I never jumped on it because of the fact I just, why the hell am I going to defend you guys when you don't defend me?
They don't include you.
Dave, I know Dave likes to, that's a good topic for him. I'm glad he's doing it. I'm not saying I have a shirt. I got the shirt too, and I will talk about it. But, you go to these soldiers that survived, that they're all the 80s, 90s now, if they're still alive. And look at all these years, they've never said nothing about, or if you went up to them and talked to them about the Holocaust, oh, I don't want to talk about that topic.
Well, we know why the sailors don't do it, because they got threatened with court-martial if they open their mouths, right? Even though a bunch of guys have said so, but, under pain of losing everything that they worked for, so...
Well, you're right. Yeah, that was something that Johnson said to these guys, or whoever said it. They said that if you talk about this, you're going to be whatever.
Court-martialed.
And they threatened them. Yeah, I mean, that's usually the case. They usually threaten you with something.
That's a cover-up.
And then they did the exact same things with the German soldiers. They threatened them, if they didn't tell the truth. I mean, if they had a lie about what happened during World War II. They had to say about gas chambers. They had to talk about the Germans killing everybody and massacring everybody. That's the story that had to be told. If they didn't tell the story, stick by the script, then something would happen to them.
That's right, or their families, yep.
All right. So anyway, okay, we can move on. Do we have anybody else that's in? You want to watch this little thing about the USS Liberty? I mean, it's up to you.
A lot of people are unaware of it. I think it'd be helpful.
All right.
Good music. Parents ask, how did my son die? Who killed him? What are the answer?
Thank you.
Okie dokie. Alrighty. So another year goes by, and nobody makes a big deal about it except people like us. So.
Did you notice on some of the tombstones they had the other things like Vietnam, World War II? So apparently they served in those, quote unquote, served in those capacities. They didn't die in Vietnam. They died, well, presumably. These guys died in on that ship. Mm-hmm. But apparently they had served in those capacities.
Okay. All right, so I guess we're all set with that topic. We can move on with some other topics that I said a couple things about talking about some things. I don't know.
Yeah, I talked about D-Day.
All right, you want to talk about that now?
Yeah, real quickly, because he did have M.S. King. We see Jimmy have M.S. King's article. There was only one paragraph that I was really interested in mentioning, because he has a real glib way of dealing with people who don't get it. And I appreciate that. I heartily appreciate it. In fact, one of them was showing a picture of the guys at D-Day. One, and none of them were smiling except one. There were others smiling. But this guy was a Jewish guy. And he said he was the Jewish MP there to make sure that all the expendable goyim disembarked and charged up the beaches. He's the only one in the photo who seems happy about it. There are some others that smile because they just do that on the pictures. But it was a complete misrepresentation. I don't know what they told these guys was going to happen when they landed on the beaches. But anyway.
So that's from Mike.
Yeah, Mike King, yep.
Good old Mike.
Well, we like him when he isn't talking about Trump. he thinks Trump's going to be our savior, and he's the answer for QAnon.
Oh, I don't know. So far, there's a lot of things he said that has not come true.
No, he said something in February was supposed to happen that Trump was going to just reveal everything.
Well, he said Trump is in charge of all the military, and he's. He's going to march right in there, and he's going to do this, and he's going to do that.
Straighten everything out.
And then he says, all this is being orchestrated by Trump right now. He's in control of everything that's going on, even what's going on in the court, his guilty verdict and all that. All right, so anyway, do we got somebody that wants to talk about something here?
I suppose. Jimmy or whoever else that is.
Hey, Jimmy.
Rick.
Who's here? Hey, man, it's been a while since I talked to you. Guys look good. I heard Jim was, you were doing, had a little problem lately.
I still am.
Man, you look great. You guys look good.
I look great, but we'll see how next week, whether I'm, 10 feet in the grave. But anyway, we'll see.
Man, you don't look like that's going to happen. Anyway, God bless you guys. It's always good to hear you talking about all this stuff. It's been a while since I talked to you. That was back when your brother was still with.
Yeah.
So it was good to see him smiling that one day I called. But, I haven't talked to you guys since then. Oh, but, man, keep it up. And God bless you guys. That's all.
Thank you, sir. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else that is?
There's a Rick person on there.
You want to jump in, Rick?
Yeah, I just got a question for you. Can you hear me there, Jim?
Yeah,
perfect.
So you're out of business for a little bit. Are you going to have? Do they want to do open heart surgery on you?
I would think so.
Yep, another bypass.
I would think.
Have you had one before?
Yeah. Yep.
How long ago?
5 years ago.
Yeah. Well, my dad's buddy had two major bypasses, quadruple. I was in a job where I used to know hundreds and thousands of people every day. And I can say this much, that in this country, surgeries are the best place. This is the best place to have surgery. Okay. This is probably the most, they do this shit with your heart beating. You're in and out of there. I've seen guys fucking do quadruples and they're up and walking in 18 days back on a crap table. So, you know, unless you're laying on the fucking the gurney and you're half dead, you know, I think you got a great future. So just keep it up and keep your chin up. And, you know, this stuff is really advanced now. They're going to do a good job for you. All right. Good luck.
All right. All right. So Diana, nobody else in the room. So let's get into the other topics. I wanted to talk about that you sent.
Yeah.
I got some topics I brought up there. Let's see. I got to try to remember.
One won't open, Jim. It was,
what was
looked
it
like it was, some sort, it said big problems for tonight. It's a Google link and it won't open.
I think it was that one about the ferrying illegals from New York City to Cape Cod.
I love reading things in the paper and how they put something there. Because we talked about this a long time ago. Here's what's happening, okay? Because now we've got this refugee problem, right? And, you know, they're bringing the refugees in by bus. Wow. They're going to open up now Hyannis Airport. It's called Hyannis something Airport. There's the two names for it, whatever. I just call it Hyannis Airport. Mm-hmm. And they're going to allow, I think I don't know if it's American Airlines. I think it was American
Airlines.
That's
what you said, American.
Okay. So they're going to allow American Airlines from New York, the shuttle from New York to come into the Cape. And, you know, you might say, oh, that's great. Oh, for the
really?
For the people that are, you know, going to the Cape from New York, they want to get. Oh no, folks, that's what this is. This is the link for the refugees. They're going to ship the refugees out. I guarantee it. They're going to ship those refugees out that are stuck in New York, and they're going down to Cape. That's what's going to happen here, and the Cape is going to get flooded with them.
Yeah,
they don't even know it.
They've been planning this for some time.
That's right. And so, you know, of course, now the season's open down there.
Yep.
All the restaurants and the hotels and everything, all illegal immigrants probably working in those businesses. All right, so now where are you going to put these people? Yeah, you're going to see some shenanigans coming in now. But again, they're not letting you know that's probably what's going to happen with this mess. And it's right. Going to be a mess down there.
Yep.
Oh, I can't even. I don't know how you people can stand it in Massachusetts. Oh, my God. It's so horrible there and what they're doing. So the Cape is just going to be completely invaded. And they think it's off the beaten path. No one's going to notice. Oh, you're going to notice down there. You know, I'm telling you, you're going to notice. You're going to see things happening down there, boy. You know. Killings and rapes and theft and all sorts of things. And they're going to have to end up, they're going to, remember, you got to put these people somewhere. And so they're eventually going to probably take over buildings or whatever. They're going to figure it out. Believe me, they're going to get these people in. And then all these people are going to start working. They're going to take all the jobs away from all the kids that used to work. You know, we used to go to Falmouth visit in Falmouth. And, you know, you'd see white people, you know, American people working in the restaurants. Not anymore. They're all going to be all the refugees, you know, invaders. You know, that's what's going to happen.
That's right.
So, again, I predicted this. I told people, here's what's going to happen. This is what they're going to do. But see, right now, nobody knows that's what's really happening. You know, all right. Who do we have here? His name is
covered up. Oh, Kilkenny, okay.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome. Are you there or what? What's cooking?
Speak.
What do you have to say? Kilkenny, what's up?
It sounds like a Scottish reference.
Well, it could be the cartoon.
Really? What kind of cartoons you watch?
You don't know that cartoon there?
No.
What's it called? South Park?
Oh, I don't watch that.
You never saw South Park with Kenny in it?
No.
Right.
Kenny's the one that's always getting killed.
No, I don't watch any of it. I don't like adult cartoons like that, except for Animaniacs. I like that. But.
Well, I don't watch them either, usually, Miss Diane, but I do know about them because...
Oh, I don't know.
You that. Have to be informed.
Is that so?
All right, so Kill Kenny, what's up? Can you hear us?
We can't hear you.
Whose phone's ringing?
Yeah, I think you can hear us, but...
Your phone's ringing.
Someone's calling on our phone?
Yeah.
All right.
It'll go to voicemail.
Yeah.
We can't hear you.
His volume's not working, unfortunately.
Yeah, his audio's not working, yeah. True that.
We've had a lot of that tonight. Maybe if you come out and come back in, it should be, it might fix it. Though Reese was having, he was having issues also.
I think it's crazy guy on the phone.
Oh boy.
Really? Oh no, might be Brian.
It could be.
Hey, Uncle Murray, I am solving that puzzle before we leave tonight, I'm telling you.
All right, so you don't want to buy a vowel, no?
I think I'm good. I think I can fudge my way through it.
Oh man.
Okay. All right, so let's move on. I wanted to talk about that, the plane.
Yeah.
Down the Cape and how they're opening up that. Oh boy. I'm telling you, I don't know how anybody can stand going down the Cape and being down there.
That's supposed to be for a select group of kind of elitist type of people. Rich people go to the Cape in the summer, and they're supposed to get away from the teeming mobs in the hot cities. Guess what?
Oh, boy.
All right. Well, anyway, okay, now I talked a little bit about today was the gay parade in Boston, and that's typical perversion day in Boston. And
Frisco.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It's just amazing how these gays have gotten so much power. You know, it's like I don't give a crap about gays. Just get out of my way. You know, I don't want you in my presence. I don't care about you.
Quit forcing your agenda down my throat. No pun intended. In other words,
you guys are just forcing your crap on me. I don't want it.
Yeah.
In other words, you know we don't like it, but you want to force us.
Yeah.
You know what's really sad? All the freaking people that are watching
Look at
them.
That. Look at that.
I mean, look at all the people that are watching them, and they're clapping, and they're happy for these people. Oh, disgusting.
That's a real judgment, I think, to happen. Yeah, that's pretty messed up.
Oh,
is that a map of all the sponsors? Is that what that is?
I don't know.
Looks like it.
Huh. Well, those are businesses you should boycott, everyone.
Yeah, I'll say. Well, that's not too difficult when you don't live there.
Well, that's true.
I put a video up about a business, Tractor Supply. I don't know. It might be big down here.
And it is. It is big down here.
Okay, so Tractor Supply is, I guess, really is into the transgender gay crap, and they promote it everywhere. I think the guy's probably, he's probably transgender. I don't even know. But the point is, I would do whatever I could to boycott a business like that.
Yeah.
But the point is, it's hard to get stuff from other businesses because that's a big business that supplies a lot of good stuff to farmers and all this. And that,
ranchers,
But it's shameful. Shameful. For a business like that to promote it right in the store. See, this is what, I don't give a crap if you want to talk about it offline or over here, but to promote this nonsense
with your business,
this perversion nonsense in your store, I don't know. Okay, what do we got here?
Kilkenny's back.
Kilkenny, are you with us or what? I don't know why he's having a problem getting the sound. Huh?
We can't hear him.
Darn it.
Yeah. All right. Did I have any other topics up there, Ms. Diane? Do you remember?
I thought that was probably it, and I'm glad you remembered those. That was good. Let me see if I can determine anything. I think you pretty much hit it. Let's see.
I've been putting up, even though I haven't been doing my walking talks, I have been putting up quite a few videos still.
Because you're going to be running out of time. Vaccine mandate reckoning. The courts are opening the door to liability lawsuits.
I sent that to Diana Schoen.
Now
the courts are all ready to go to bring all these things against all the people that are involved. This is going to be big, I think. This is really big.
That's
about
great.
Time. This whole nonsense has been making me nuts ever since they started this.
I'm just saying, now, you know, If you're a lawyer out there and you want to get into a good business and you want to be able to represent people that have been harmed by this, this is a good time to get into this business because there's going to be thousands of these cases.
Or if you want to take it on your own as a legal person with a lawyer, there's going to be plenty of business to be had by one and all, apparently.
That's right. There's going to be plenty of work for everybody.
Yeah.
Because there's thousands of people that have been hurt, harmed, whatever.
Yep. Yep.
And you know, I'm wondering how this is all gonna work out. I wonder if this is all gonna get into being you know, when they put all one case into one
Action.
Class action.
Blech. Yeah. Boy, then nobody wins except the lawyers.
Well no, I'm just saying, well, they get billions of dollars, but yeah, the people
when
get
you- with all the people involved, if they make that a class action, you might get 10 bucks out of it when it's all said and done.
I get it. But it's going to be, well, the floodgates are open now because all these people, see, you know what I would love to see happen here? I would love to see Fauci go to jail or get arrested or something. I don't know why this isn't happening. I don't know why he isn't.
Yep.
He's being obviously protected here, and it makes me sick to see that this guy is responsible for killing, harming, hurting, closing businesses. I mean, right now, we are in a situation that is so bad because of what happened then. Okay,
look, right.
Because it takes a while for this to all work out, right? Once you close a business, you know, it takes a year or so before we have a residual effect down the line. And we're seeing it right now. I think I was reading 2,600 restaurants, I think in 2024, have gone out of business. 2,400. And I will guarantee one of the reasons was because of COVID.
That was the intended result of one. That was one of the intended results of this.
Well, no, this is what I'm getting at. I listen to this guy. If you guys want to listen to a really good guy, he does a walk and talk every day. And his name is Dan. Dan, it's called I Allegedly. So I, A-L-L-L, allegedly, however you spell allegedly. I Allegedly. He's on YouTube. And he does like a 15, 20-minute walk. He talks about all the stuff that – he lives in California. So he talks about all the stuff that's happening in California really good. You gotta listen to him because he's showing what's happened economically, what's going on with the banks, what's going on with the stores, what's going on with the real estate market. And that's another good thing because, again, once you have the restaurants closing up, then you're going to get – it's going to snowball down to real estate because the people are not going to be able to afford the homes anymore. They're not working. Right. And so they're going to lose their homes or whatever. And so the real estate market's going to get hit. And then that's going to fall into banking because if you can't pay your mortgage – then we're going to be in the same situation as the banking situation back in 2008. So this is going to be big, I think, what's going to happen in the next, I'd say next year or two. You're going to see
a whole bunch of bubbles are going to pop.
You're going to see a lot of bank closings. Because, see, a lot of the banks, if they have a lot of real estate investment, you know, they invested in a lot of real estate with people with mortgages, and all these people going belly up on the mortgages, what do you think is going to happen to the bank? The bank's going to fold. And then if that bank folds, remember, one bank just leads into another bank. They borrow money from each other, however, you know, it works, you know. They're all interconnected. So if one bank falls, another bank falls, oh, my goodness. That's why you got to watch out even where you put your money, you know. Well,
good luck with that. Anyway, it's not happening today. It just it looms on the horizon of how bad it can get, but it hasn't gotten that bad yet.
Right, right. Yeah, but, you know, it is starting to happen in California. You know, all these stores, like San Francisco, they say is a ghost town.
Oh, yeah.
In downtown San Francisco, where all the businesses left. Can you imagine?
I don't blame them. Yeah, well, that was a BLM contribution to this.
Well, you know, also, too, you got to look at the homeless situation there, too, which caused, you know, I mean, you can't even believe what goes on there. They say they have a map. Believe it or not, it's like it's called this is what I'm calling it. It's probably called something else. It's a crap map, and they show you where all the people are crapping.
Yeah, it's a poop map. Yes.
Can you imagine? Can you imagine a city like San Francisco? I mean, it's probably a beautiful city, right?
But used to be.
Then you got the gays there, but now you have all the homeless there crapping everywhere. I mean, you're walking down the street downtown and you're seeing people crapping on the street.
Apparently, I
can't even believe it. You know, the only thing we see crapping out here are the cows.
That's right.
You know what I mean?
Just so you know.
Just to let you know, we got the same problem here.
Well, they're not out walking out on the road because that's what happened in the road or in the towns.
Oh, I can't even. But some of these cities, and then the other thing that's happening is that, you know, they're closing up all like the CVS stores and the Walgreens, all these stores right in the middle of these cities, and we're having a big problem there because the people are getting pissed because they don't have any place to buy the things they need to live on, and they're saying, well, we got to close it because you people are coming in and stealing everything.
Yeah, stealing the damage that they do. And they said, that you're being racist.
Yeah. Do we have somebody that wants to come in here? Because we only have a few minutes left.
Actual Hoon.
Is he coming in or is he just?
I don't know. He's.
I mean, you're welcome to talk. We don't have much time, though, about 5 minutes, 6 minutes left. But anyway, yes. What's that?
I was just going to say, I don't have any headphones, so I'm not sure if it's going to echo or what. Is it echoing on you guys?
No, we
can hear you. Go ahead if you have something to say. You got a minute, a couple minutes.
Well, Jim Rizzoli, I talked to you in 2018 on Brexit Party 2 YouTube channel. Do you remember that channel?
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's been a long time. Yeah, man. So I hope everything goes well with you with the heart stuff. And I would actually like to bitch about the Georgia governor for a second, if that's okay with y'all.
Yeah, go ahead. You got a few minutes.
It's kind of rough. Okay, sweet. I'll be quick. This is totally left field stuff. So I just found out that the mayor of Georgia, Brian Kemp, a complete piece of crap, has made this THCA stuff illegal, and I sent him a tweet asking him how much did the drug cartels pay you to do that, because for the past like 6 months or so, weed has actually been legal in Georgia and a lot of white people haven't been getting killed by niggers, you know, and they haven't been able to arrest anybody, and now they make it illegal again. I'm kind of pissed.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a drug war. It's a war on us, right? And, you know, because it's a bunch of nonsense. So
exactly. And, you know, I only use that because I had a meth head stepdad that used to, like, beat me with car parts and shit. Like, I'm a little bit crazy if I don't smoke that shit. Like, I'll fight you, whatever, you know. And I smoke that shit and I'm totally normal. So I know it's good. I don't care what any other Nazi says. I'm a national socialist, but I still say it's good. And, yeah, that's all I have to say about that, really. I just wanted to bitch. Fuck you, Brian Kemp. And that's about it. That's all.
All right. All right.
Thank you.
Good to hear from you. All right. Going back to 2018. Wow. Remember the Brexit days?
Oh, yeah. That was a – I remember Brian Dawson.
If you want to watch a really good video, you got to watch Jim Rizzoli Brexit video.
I think it was like number 35.
Yeah, but anyway, go look at it on BitChute. Jim Rizzoli Brexit, and Ryan Dawson was on the show, and I blasted them all. I mean,
You put up with Ryan Dawson for an hour and a half of him talking, and then you finally had enough, and there she blows.
Oh, I tell you.
That was interesting.
I've calmed down quite a bit. But, yeah, you gotta look at that. It's quite funny and how I dealt with that. But, yeah, Brexit. And that was really a good thing. It was a great discussion with this guy from England.
Yeah.
And we were getting into some really heavy-duty good stuff. And
Alfred was on there.
Open discussion. And I don't know what the hell happened to him.
I think he lost interest somehow, or I don't know, was threatened. I'm not sure.
I don't know. It's amazing, you know, all the things I've been involved in and watching go by the wayside. You know what I mean? Like you're doing this, you're doing that, and things just didn't work out. People die or people leave or whatever. I don't know. It's sad, but anyway. Okay, so we're coming up to the last few minutes, 5 minutes. Do we have an ending tonight? I was just...
Diana always has something, and it usually lasts about 4 minutes or so.
Well, I don't want to go too past that time. Okay, so this is 5 minutes. So we're gonna end. This is Boat Walker again. Okay, we'll see what he has to say. I haven't seen this yet. This will take us up to the end of our show.
Yep.
So, folks, I want to thank everybody that called in. Next week, I don't know what's going to happen with me, if I'm going to be around. If I'm around, good. If I'm not... Well, it was nice meeting everyone.
Now, we'll pray for you, honestly.
Well, hopefully I'll be back. I want to be back because I got a lot of stuff I got to finish up. I'm not done yet. So, anyway. Okay, so let's conclude with this and see what this has to say.
Hey, dude, don't take the jam. Take a cab home and make it better. Remember, don't let them into your heart, or you'll depart and take a header. Hey, dude, don't use the nate. They will make you a viral shatter. The minute you let them puncture your skin, then they'll begin to make you deader. And anytime you feel strange, be brave. Don't care if they give you the cold shoulder. That it's a fool who makes the rules. Try making this world a little bolder. Na 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 na. Hey, dude, don't hang around. You have found a depart a little better. Yeah, so get it out, don't let it in. Hey, dude, listen, you're waiting for someone to endorse it. But don't you know that if you do, hey, dude, take a cab home and make it better. washing your skin.